Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, and empowerment. Just wanted to say thank you guys for joining us as we are here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We ask that you join us today as we are covering the spiritual gifts. Now join us for devotion. Dr. Nuss, if you would please render us a song and read the scripture, and I will use the prayer. Well, here's Brother Mark just came in. Brother Mark.
Okay.
We have a devotion. Would you? Good evening. We're starting devotion.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us at Your Place Christian Church, where God is exalted and the words that is explained. We'll be starting off with devotions with song, scripture, and then prayer. Our song for this evening is Jesus, You're the Center of My Joy. Jesus, You're the center of my joy, and all that's good and perfect comes from You. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, You're the center of my joy. When I'm lost and lonely, You take away my fear. When I'm all alone, You're right there by my side. The voices of the children, my family and my own. You're the source that I've been looking for. Oh, Jesus, You're the center of my joy, and all that's good and perfect comes from You. For You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, You are the center of my joy. Jesus, You are the center of my joy. Jesus, You're the center of my joy, my joy. My joy, oh my joy.
Amen.
Amen. Our scripture, I'm going to read two short scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12. 4 through 7, and it says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Then in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, says, now these are the gifts of Christ, the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen. God, we come before you and we are asking that you teach us today as we are gathered to understand how to use the gifts of the Spirit that you've given us, as we come to understand what spiritual gifts are and who is actually empowered and blessed with those spiritual gifts. We are trusting you to lead, guide, and direct us as we continue seeking your faith. Help us this day to open our spiritual eyes and to see you, to hear you, and to understand that which you have placed in front of us to sup and to eat tonight. We ask these blessings. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Loving you. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Dr. Nooks, we are excited, as I said earlier in the prayer, that you know, you have been teaching us throughout the month on the topic of God help us to use the spiritual gifts that we've been given for the month of November. And we have week before last, we talked about what are some of those spiritual gifts. And then November the 10th, actually tonight, we're looking at who has spiritual gifts. And so if you're ready, please go ahead and let's get started, and you can lead and direct us through this lesson.
Amen. We've been talking about spiritual gifts, and the contention is that God help us to use the spiritual gifts that we have. So often we've been given gifts, and many in the church, for some reason or other, don't feel that they can use their gifts. I remember young people in our church were concerned about the fact that some of the older people would not allow them to use their gifts or would criticize them, and I encouraged them to use their gifts anyway. And some did, but some didn't. And I think that's the case in many churches. But we're going to talk about why we've been given these spiritual gifts tonight. And just as a sort of a refresher, I'm going to ask those that are on the line just to mention some spiritual gifts we've been given. You can.
This is Mark. Some of the spiritual gifts include giving, speaking in different tongues, discernment, teaching. Now, those are just a few, but there's several other gifts.
Amen. Amen. And there are gifts like love. These are fruits of the Spirit that we've been given as people of God. And when we think of our world right now, we think of the bombings that are going on, the shootings, the killings. And we think that we've been given the gift of love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are some fruits of the Spirit that we've been given, those when we allow the Spirit to work in our lives. But Mark mentioned a few, but there are so many gifts that we've been given, wise counsel, special knowledge, great faith, giving, the gift of healing, gift of miracles, prophecy. And then we talked about the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, serving others, teaching, encouraging others. These are all gifts of the Spirit And then I guess my question to begin with is, you know, we've been given these gifts, but the question is why? Before we get into our lesson, I'd just like to hear why you think we've been given these gifts.
This is Mark again. I think the reason that we've been given those gifts is to edify God to in His work.
Okay. Dr. Susie, why have we been given spiritual?
I think it's to edify the kingdom. You know, to build up and edify one another and edify the kingdom of God. It's to edify the church, to strengthen the church.
I agree. Amen.
Amen. Were you going to say something, Mark?
No, I totally agree. Amen.
Okay. I want us to look at the scriptures in a little more depth and expound upon what I read just to start out with. And I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to look at 4 through 7, and then I want to look at 11 through 27. And I think the 11 through 27 is scripture that we're familiar with, and this whole text we're familiar with. It's about spiritual gifts and one, all gifts being important. Does somebody want to read tonight, or should I just read these?
I can read.
Text? Okay.
12:4 says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives the message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability. Do you want me to finish all the way down through 11?
I wanted you to read 11 through 27.
Okay, well, I'm almost through with this one. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes. The Spirit distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not on an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where it wants it, where God wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen. While the more honorable parts do not require the status put the body together such that an extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts one has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets.
That's fine. That's far enough.
Okay.
Okay. Verse 14 says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. In verse 11, it says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. What does that say to you about us getting excited about the gifts that we have?
This is Mark. It tells us about us that we that God has given each of us a gift. That's first of all, and it's an opportunity to have a relationship. It secondly lets us know that God's a sovereign God, and that He and He alone is the one that assigns and gives these gifts out. But He also instructs us and lets us know, thirdly, that all of the gifts that we have are just as important as one another. So we are only as strong as our weakest link. So any gift that one of us has is no greater than the other in regard to the importance from God. But he does say that when we edify each other with these gifts, that we're able to bless each other. But when we hurt each other, then God takes note of that, and it hurts the body in whole. So we have a choice to either help each other or hurt each other. And I think that's the choice that He gives us. And He, again, recognizes, and then we still must recognize that any gift that we have is from Him.
Amen, amen. And that was what I was trying to get at, that text there, is that we really shouldn't be going around saying that, oh, I can sing, or I'm this, I'm that, because the Spirit decides where those gifts come from and who they go to. And so mm-hmm. we should be rejoicing in the fact that, you know, God gave this, and this is a gift from God, not something that I have done. And so it doesn't require boasting, but it requires, I think, giving God praise that you have it and to use that gift for God. And we're told that each gift that we've been given is so that we can help each other. Message in today's lesson is, why have we been given these spiritual gifts? And if we are to help each other, are we doing a good job of that with our spiritual gifts? Are we helping each other? And I'm talking about the body of Christ.
This is Mark. I don't believe that we recognize, one, the gifts that we have. Had we recognized the gifts we'd have, we recognize that it's a full table of gifts and opportunity to be able to bless and enhance each other versus tear down each other. And I think sometimes because of circumstances in our lives or situations, sometimes they tear us down. Sometimes people tear us down. Sometimes we don't recognize who we are as a people. And, I think if we recognize who we were and whose we were, we could then internalize and recognize the gifts that God has given us to be able to help ourselves and other people.
Amen. I want us to look at a couple of texts, and I want to come back to that last part there about the less honorable gifts. But I want us to look at Romans chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Dr. Susie, you have that? So if you can
Romans
get that one.
Romans 1.
9 through 12.
Yes, I have it.
Okay.
And I have it. Would you like me to read it now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm reading from the new NLT, New Living Translation. Romans 1, 9 through 12 says, God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all of my heart by spreading the good news about his son. One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to you. For I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours.
Amen. So this is Paul talking. Dr. Susie, what does that say to you about spiritual gifts?
Well, it's saying that Paul is basically talking about that he's talking to them and saying that he prays for them, but he prays for the opportunity to spend time with them so that he can impart on them, could be saying that, you know, the gift that he has to share it with them so that they can grow strong. And he says also because when that occurs that they strengthen him and he strengthens them and through, you know, faith. And it also could mean that.
We lost you.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, I can hear you now. Lost you there for a little bit. But you know, it just shows how important spiritual gifts are and how important they were in the church, the early church. You know, Paul is saying, I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established. So he's concerned about the church, and he realizes that if he imparts some spiritual gifts on them, the Roman church, that it will help them to be established as a believing body in Christ. So the spiritual gifts that he has, he wants to impart upon the church, them. Then he says, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. So Paul is saying that if he comes to them, that he will also receive spiritual gifts from them because he will receive the gift of encouragement. So it just shows how important spiritual gifts are. But if we don't even realize we have them, as Mark is saying, and many of us don't, you know, why would we even think about imparting them? You know, I see so many churches that are just dwindling down, and the numbers are dwindling. When I was in Canada, you know, I'd go with two or three, four people, be in a church building. Here in the United States, many churches are closing. And we've got these spiritual gifts. And Paul is saying how important it is for the church to encourage one another and to impart spiritual gifts to help the church. So we have them, but what are we doing with them? So
this is Mark.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
This is Mark. I thought it was interesting that Paul, you know, comes and recognizes that he needs not only to pray, but he also needs their gift. You
Amen.
Know, I think it's really humbling when one recognizes that they don't have all the answers. That there's a song that says, I need you, you need me. We're all a part of God's family. And it's a special point when a leader can come to his flock and say, I need you. And I realize you need me. And together, you know, we can grow.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. You remember when the Pope was here, and remember what he would say to everybody that he approached? He would ask them to pray for him. Yes. And that act to me is an act of humility, but it also to me is an act of what I would expect from a believer. We need each other. We really do. And it's just, we've got so many gifts, and so we're rich. We're rich in faith. We're rich in gifts. And many of us are poor in other ways financially, but we've got rich gifts.
You know, one of the things. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Mark.
One of the things that I've realized that happiness is a state of mind. Happiness is a state of mind. One may not have all the food, all the resources, even all the talent, or all the skills, or all of the houses and cars. You may not have all that, but happiness is truly a state of mind. You know, I can go to places in Africa where, you know, or places around the world where they live in shanty towns and don't have running water and don't have the resources to be able to do a lot of things that we take for granted, but yet still they have a joy and happiness thing, and they're singing to God, and one, it is as almost as if they are releasing a blessing to everybody around. And I think in many of our cases is that, as we said before, we don't recognize our gifts, and therefore we don't realize that we have something, we're valuable, and that we have something to give just like everybody else that has been perceived to be able to have everything in order. But if we recognize just one of our gifts and share that gift with someone else, our life is enhanced 1,000-fold. And I think that's one of the things that we have to do is have that sense about ourselves, that the Spirit of God has given us about our gifts. And when we share those, that's a sense of happiness that is overwhelming that money can't buy.
You know,
the sense of joy.
Amen. I think it's a sense of fulfillment.
Amen.
Like this is what I'm supposed to do.
Absolutely.
You know, we run around doing so many things, but when you feel connected to God and you feel that you are using the gift that God has given you or the gift that God has given you, it's fulfilling. It's like it wakes you up. You know, wow, God's using me to do this.
You know what?
You know, go ahead.
Greetings, Sean. Glad you joined us tonight. But I just wanted to share that, you know, one of the things that you're talking about sharing, I guess, the people on the line who have been teaching and sharing through these last 10 years have a gift. And they have been using their gifts, sharing their gifts among each other as well as to the people across the world on the radio. And so I just want to say that we can't underestimate or undervalue that gift and how God chooses to use that. I hear you type it, Mark, and how God chooses to use that. And just asking that as we come together, that we will understand just how valuable that is, just how valuable it is when God can use us to share a word, and we don't know how many people it's impacting, how far across the world that message has gone, what heart is touched, who it saved, who it gave the opportunity to be empowered. And so, you know, as those of you who may choose to stop participating or slow down, just be mindful that of the benefits that you share as using your gifts, but to encourage and to exhort and to have knowledge with other people.
Amen. And I think it ought to change our attitude. Mark was talking about a state of mind, happiness being a state of mind. If we understand that God has given us the opportunity to share our gifts when we come together and assemble, maybe it would help to change our mind about service and worship and why we're really there. You know, we're really here to worship God, but we're also here to share our gifts that God has given us. And this is an opportunity, and there ought to be rejoicing in that. And also, if we come together, we ought to be encouraging one another. And sometimes we don't, but we can start with me. You know, I can start with me and being an encouragement to somebody else.
But I guess the question I have, Dr. Mills, is why is it that and when and what does it take for us to encourage one another? Who chooses the venue? For example, how do we work together as a team and instead of going our own separate ways? I'm hearing it. You know, we just got to read in the passage about the body. We just got to read and Mark talking about how the song that says you are a part of God's body. And the reality is that we need each other, and yet we'll say, you know, if I can be available, I might show up or I might not show up because, you know, I guess everybody has their own way that they want to do it, and they may not want to function jointly. They may want to do something separate and on their own. But you know, I don't know. I don't know how we can do that, and I don't know because it's like our gifts are meant to be shared.
I've got an answer for that. This is Mark. I think one of the things that we have to recognize is that life and centuries change over time. Things change over time, and it's very difficult for any of us to even recognize or even want that change to happen. But more importantly, that we have to, one, recognize the gift that we have, and then secondly, we have to recognize that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So before we even talk about the venue or the distribution or how we come together, we gotta recognize that this devil is real, and he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And how does he do it? He separates us in our little compartments. You know, we tend to go off on our own and feel left alone because, you know, when you're alone, you know, you can't fight against three or four people. But if you put four or five people together, people are less likely to fight you. People are less likely to hurt you. There's power in numbers. And so even if that medium may have been the church at one time or it might have been the radio at one time, I still think there's power in numbers. And God has, even if God says for us to use our gift to trust that person, we're using that gift. And God will acknowledge us using that gift and enhance who we are as people. I'm reminded of the scripture says, if my people were called upon my name, would humble themselves and pray. And then will I can't think of the rest of the scripture, then will I heal their land.
And seek my face, then will
seek
I hear from.
And then will I hear from them and heal their land.
And heal their land, yeah.
Man, I truly do believe if we seek God and humble ourselves and use what God has given us to bless others, we are intrinsically blessed because of it. Now, whether even, and I acknowledge that, you know, we don't have the numbers in the churches like we used to. We don't have the distribution channels that we typically use. We as people don't even go to church like we used to. But I have to believe that God is still real, that God still works, that God still has a plan for each and every one of us, because he's called us to reconcile us into himself. And if that's true, that God has a way that in, whether it be a medium of one or two people or one or 2,000, God's will be done, and he's going to reconcile us into himself.
Amen. Amen. And Dr. Zizi, I think you talk about the venue. I think sometimes we stumble over our traditions, and I agree with Mark about people sort of being coming together, and we have a problem with cliques. We have a problem with the way we used to do things. And we have a problem with you not doing it the way I'm used to doing it. And we make it difficult to support and encourage each other because we get caught up in the things that really aren't even important. And we miss out on loving each other. Because if you worship different than a group of people are used to worshiping, they feel that you have committed heresy, and they want you out. They don't want you in there anymore. And how is that looking out for the body of Christ? But we allow our traditions and how we used to do things to rule us, to override our faith. And seeing people as the body of Christ, I think that's a good question, and I think we really have some issues about encouraging one another. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I go to church and I don't get much encouragement, and it's really hard. I've probably shed more tears in church than I have anywhere, because people have just hurt me so much.
I'm on this Facebook page, and I had a friend that sent a text, and he was talking about, because there is a minister out there who mandated that he have some money for a jet, and that has colored his perspective of ministers because of his request for a jet. I mean, as outrageous and outlandish as that may be, it's colored his perspective of all ministers, and that's the challenge of the church, because we have so many people who are growing in their faith. We have so many people who are like, you know, I'm not going to interact with people who, you know, and it causes me to lose trust and faith in other ministers, because what it is they just want my money. When the reality is that person is not representing the group. But the deeper learning is, what is your relationship with God like? Because you don't go to serve a pastor. You don't go to serve another member. Your purpose for going to church is to serve God. Now, granted, you have to have a discernment to know that, no, I don't want to go to a church or invest in a church who I know that the money is really not going for God's program. I understand that. But you can't let that one person stop you from having an intimate relationship with God, stop you from growing, stop you from using the gifts that you have or receiving the gifts that someone else has to edify you and to grow you up in the Lord.
Amen. And wouldn't that be good for us to say that to ourselves? I'm not going to let this stop me. God, I'm here to worship you, and I'm here to share the gift that you've given me. I don't care what that knucklehead does. You know, we need to encourage ourselves, too, so that we can overcome those things. And we need to ask God's help for it, because we can't do it by ourselves. God, help me. Go ahead.
You're absolutely right, because I think, you know, even myself, you know, as we've done the Bible study for 10 years, and it's waxed and waned, and people come and they go. And there are times I think, well, you know, what's the point of continuing it when, you know, you can't get a few faithful people that are consistent no matter what happens in life. You know, as life goes up and down, they choose to go up and down with it. but they don't, and then they'll, some of them will say, you know, God, thank you for providing that outlet for me, but they won't do what it takes to sustain it. And that means the sacrifice and continuing to come, even when it gets challenging. And so I it's really difficult and challenging, which is why what you said, Dr. Nook, is so important, that we have to, in spite of anybody else, continue to use our gifts regardless what other people choose to do.
Amen. I want us to look at 1 Corinthians 1, 5 through 7, and then I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 12. I know we don't have much time. Time is really rolling by. 1 Corinthians 1, 5 through 7, and I'm going to go 4 through 8. It says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that you were enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift. So God has given us these gifts, but if we're not sharing them with each other, then maybe we are coming short in the gifts, you know, because we haven't received what God has given us because we're not sharing them.
Brother, no,
I'm
sorry.
You look at the story. Okay.
I was going to ask you, what?
Ahead,
that was 1 Corinthians chapter what in verse? Did you just read
chapter 1, chapter 1, verses 4 through 8.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, while I was listening to that, the reality of this is a reminder when we look at, I think the last thing you said is that, I was trying to respond to what you said, Dr. Nook. And it was important to me to say, but I lost my train of thought. But basically, when we know that God has given us gifts and talents, and, you know, just like it says in the scripture that the part of the body is used to, these gifts aren't given to be abused, but for the use of the whole body, and that they are, what I liked about this is it says the effectiveness of Paul's message about Christ, though it might have been feebly delivered. And that's what's amazing to me, because I, as a pastor, I labor every week to bring a word that I think will be salvific and give clarity on God's word. But this scripture is so freeing. It talks about verse 6, the presence of these gifts bore testimony to the effectiveness of Paul's message about Christ. Even, you know, verses 2, 1 through 5 talks about how he wasn't that great an orator and it might have been poorly delivered. But the fact that God securely implanted God's word regardless, and because it's God's work, because it's God's plan, it's God's program, then Paul had no question that the outcome would be effectiveness, because it wasn't about him. And so I finally got it last week, and I relaxed, and all that stress, and was like, you know what, you think you're doing this? You will never enjoy sermon writing. And so I finally said, okay, God, this is your thing. You know, you bring it.
Amen.
And I'll let it go.
Amen.
And when I got that, then I was more effective for what it was that God wanted us to do.
Amen. Very quickly, I want us to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to read verses 18 through 27 again, and I want us to focus on the less honorable parts of the body. and how we're caring for the less honorable parts of the body.
Amen.
So can we go back to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 18 through 27? Dr. Susie, you want to read that again for us?
I have it. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where God wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yet there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Read on.
Yes.
And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it.
Amen. So how freeing is verse 18? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where God wants it to be. Amen. Isn't that great?
Amen.
You know, I mean, we worry about, you know, am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? God has put every part just where God wants it to be. So that means we can just be who we are. Amen? And share what God has given us. Because God has put us right where God wants us to be. So that to me is a freeing word. And then also verse 23 says, and the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen. What does that say to you about the body of Christ? What should we be doing and what are we doing for those that are the least of these, my brethren? What should we be doing and what are we doing? Because we ought to be protecting. Go ahead.
Yeah, we should be protecting the least of ours because
Amen.
We're one. You know, again, we are only as strong as our weakest link. If we don't protect the weakest of ours, then we are not protecting ourselves. And
Amen.
Beyond color, race, creed, we have to recognize that we are one body and that we all need each other. And we can either live together and grow together or fall and die together.
Amen.
Well,
amen. And you look at the homeless, you look at the poor, I look at the elderly. I mean, and I see them every day in the nursing homes and hospitals and some of the most neglected people around. The people in prison.
You know, you can live a life of wealth and flourish, but guess what? When our health fails, we end up equal, not quite equal parity, but it begins to level the playing ground.
That's right. It's an equal platform. Absolutely.
Almost. I mean, there's
Amen.
Some places that get, you know, depending on how much money you have, you can get a little bit of care. But guess what? We all die, and we all put in the same size coffin, in the same,
That's
buried
right.
the same height when it's all said
and
done.
And you know, when people get so sick, it doesn't really matter how much money they have.
That's right.
Because,
yeah.
you know, I see people that, I see judges, I see people that ran businesses, I see people that have a lot of money, they're in some expensive rooms in these nursing homes, but they don't know. They can't watch TV. They can't watch the ball games. I mean, it doesn't matter that they're in a room with plush furniture. It doesn't matter one bit.
And the other thing that I think, you know, that you pointed out is that it's like a company. We don't use our resources like we should. You know,
the studies typically show that the kids or children get kissed 20 times more than those of the elderly. While the elderly need that affection, the kids don't really need as much, but they do need a sense of direction and wisdom that elderly have. And I think there's such a disconnect in this country, especially where we don't reverend our elders, because they do have the wisdom and knowledge, and they do have the care and sense to be able to give unto our children that which we even as parents cannot give. I think many times we can, you know, each of us can look to a grandmother or grandfather who we said, oh, that was my favorite grandmother, that was my favorite grandfather, and we can always remember something that they said or something that they gave us that instilled a sense of who we are today. And that's where we have that's another point of disconnection that we have here in the United States.
Amen.
Well, actually, this is Dr. Susie. Go ahead. I was just saying, this is Dr. Susie. They've actually done studies, new studies, Mark, that because, you know, the original studies where they talked about children that were not touched, how they died because of lack of touch baby. And then they also talked about the elderly who died because of lack of, like you were saying, attention. Well, what they did is they put children a children's care facility in a nursing home. And it was so cool because they needed each other, and the love that they both had need of was being granted to the other. You know, both of them needed touch. Both of them needed that love. And it was a very positive experience for both the elderly and for the young children. So I think, you know, maybe we're starting to get it in some areas, probably not overall, but, you know, we're trying to. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I was just going to say everything you guys are saying is true, and I agree with it. I think, though, all this kind of stems from going back to your foundation and, you know, like whether you're, you know, your spirit, you know, everything comes from your spirit. And our country, the United States, has really been built on dividing families, dividing people, you know what I mean? And so that's kind of how we've got to this place that we're in as a society, as a country. And so, you know, there's the cost of the consequences of them, whether you're talking slavery in the black communities or the Indians or whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's about, you know, dividing people and families. And they don't want you to be strong, so they don't want you to be united. And so it's when you do that to one, you do it to all. And so it's has just really grown into, like, now you're talking about the elderly and children, no matter what color or race or age or sex or any of that, you know. And so our country comes to a place of healing and understanding, you know, like Mark said, we need to come together, united. We're going to be stronger as a country when we bring all the people together, when my family is together, when your family is together, when your neighborhoods are together, you know what I mean? And so that's why we're where we are, and it's sad. It is, you know, so I'm just supporting the comments that were being said here tonight. And that, again, kind of rolls into what we're talking about is the body of Christ. You know, the body of Christ is, you know, that's one part, but there's a body of the United States. There's a body within your community, you know what I mean? So it's just segments of subsections of where you are. And like you said, you are where God has placed you to be. But if you're jealous, you know, the fingers can't be jealous of the toes. You know what I'm saying? Because they need each other. And it's the same thing in the neighborhood. You know, you can't be jealous of your neighbor and your community be strong. You know, you got to be like, listen, you serve one purpose. Like, the fingers serve a purpose different than the toes. So, you know, but until the toes can recognize, you know, that, and then the fingers recognize that, or even understand that about themselves. I think a lot of this, too, is that, you know, sometimes the fingers don't even know what their job is. You know, until you know who you are, you know, and recognize, hey, I'm a finger. And okay, now what does a finger do? You know, and do that and do it well, you know, then you can be, you know, the best typist in the world or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So it all really stems down to a strong foundation, which the foundation of everything is in the spirit. And that understanding is a relationship with God and asking God to say, Lord, you know, what did you create me to do? What am I? What am I to do? And then help me to be the best at that and not be jealous that I'm not something, you know, different than what you created me to be, you know, and support the other and just be the best of who I am, and then bring those people or those other members, support, whatever, together, like the body is designed to come together, and then the whole body is strong.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And when we exercise our gifts, I think I agree with you, Sean. I think we help more than just the body of Christ. I think we help our communities. I think we help everybody that's all around us, because those spiritual gifts are really really important. Dr. Susie, it's 4 minutes till 8. I don't know how much more we should go.
We have more time. We have a little bit of time. We have about 15, 20 minutes. So
okay,
if you want to review that, and then we can have, go ahead.
I wanted us to look at Ephesians chapter 4. I read some of that in the introduction, but I wanted us to read verses 13 through 16, Ephesians 4, 13 through 16. I can read it if you don't have it.
Okay.
And it reads, this will continue. Well, I guess I better start at 11. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ, that we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love.
Amen.
Amen. So, I mean, this talks about us growing and being mature and growing in love and this is the reason why we have apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. It's not to edify the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers and the apostles and the prophets, but it's to build up the church. That's the purpose of preachers and pastors. I mean, if we have any other reason, if there's any other reason out there that they're trying to follow, it's the wrong reason. We were given these gifts to build up the church, to help the body of Christ.
But not to build up themselves. This is Dr.
Amen.
Susie. I said, but not to build up self. And that's what I find, is that people begin to create their own kingdoms or queendoms. And as a result of the example that I gave earlier, I got a brother who was like, you know, I won't go to church. I'll just teach myself if I have to. You know, again, I think sometimes we also have to grow to the point where we can't trust God. We can't trust the Spirit and say that, you know, I'm not talking about that particular pastor at all, but I'm saying when we encounter, we go places and we try the Spirit, we listen to the pastor, we have to understand no matter who they are, if God can minister to an ass and that an ass be a prophetic voice, then God surely can use a human being to fault it. But because our focus is not supposed to be on that human being. Our focus is supposed to be on God. And when we get it, when we fully understand that it is God and not individuals that we need to be in relationship with, those people should just be pointing us to God. And yes, I agree with him in that he says that, you know, it makes it very difficult to trust when you have those kind of people who, you know, say clearly, I want you to give me some money so I can buy me a jet. You know, it makes it very challenging. But again, you know, we can't put our eyes onto human beings, but we got to keep our eyes focused on the Lord.
Right. And I agree with Dr. Beavers is saying that we got to keep our eyes on the prize. I always have this saying that we have a conversation with is we got to stay on the bus. You know, we get distracted as the devil would have us be. We get disappointed. We get fearful. We start to doubt.
Mm-hmm.
We start not to believe. And then we ultimately get off the bus. That means we give up all the gifts and the opportunities that God has for us and for us to be able to bless others. So I think it's incumbent upon us to stay on the bus, to stay focused, to recognize that, you know, that God's Spirit is in us, and if God's Spirit is in us, he can work through us, and if he can work through us, all things are possible.
I think we always have the wrong perspective, but again, I think that's, like you said, the devil. We're all, you know, most of us are taught to look, you know, on the outside, you know, outside in versus inside out. And I think that's the mistake. And I think most people, that's the perspective they have, is from outside. You know, that's where all the competition and jealousy and all that, because they're looking around on the outside. But when you start from the inside, like you said, God is, his Spirit is in you. It begins right there. Life begins right there. Your existence begins right there. Then you kind of go from inside out. Then it kind of helps you, I think, to stay focused. Like you said, staying on the bus and saying that, you know, I'm here. Is the example or the analogy we've been using, whether you're talking about your finger or a toe or whatever your gift is, that gift, that finger or toe, for example, is to glorify God. It is not to glorify you. It is not to glorify a church or a pastor or a leader or whatever. It is that ability to function, to do that gift, is to glorify God. And so then if you stay from that perspective of the inside out, I'm going to do the best that I can do, the gift and the talent and the ability that God has placed in me to do this to his glory, then he is going to provide you with those things around you that support you. The fingers aren't looking for toes to match up. You know, they're just there. God brings the whole body together. So he's leading and guiding you. If you are praying to him and saying, Lord, where do you want me to go? He's going to tell the fingers where you need to meet up with the hand, where you need to meet up with the arm, where you need to meet up with the shoulder. You know, so it is the perspective, the right perspective. And like I said, I think that's the devil. That's where lost and confused most people are, and getting the truth. And you know, some of us are fortunate enough to find other people who know the truth and tell us the truth, and then we can kind of have a spiritual awakening, you know. But if you don't have that in your life, you know, then you have to, you know, pray, you know, and ask God to help you to understand, because that's where you're frustrated and you're tired and you get discouraged and you get depressed and you get off the bus, like Mark is saying. So it's just like, for me, and I'm just using that because that's been my experience, it's a spiritual awakening. And at some point in your life, you'll come to a place and you're like, you know, I don't understand. What is going on? And it's like, I did not have the right perspective, and I didn't have the understanding. And so through, you know, a variety of different things, but ultimately the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, had to really help me, counsel me, giving me what I needed that I was lacking from other resources, even though I might have been going to church or whatever, to give me the right perspective and saying, okay, this is why a lot of this is going on, because you don't understand the truth. This is, you have the wrong perspective. So I'm just saying, it's like we have to turn it around, and the truth is we're a spirit. It is a foundation, and you start from the inside out, not looking from the outside in.
Amen. Amen, Sean. And I think one of the most divisive things is looking from the outside in the way of denominationalism. I've worked with a lot of different denominations, and I served a man that was a preacher, and he worked with an ecumenical council trying to bring churches together for years. And he said he really struggled trying to find the things that would allow denominations to come together to even worship. We are so divided. And to me, Sean, that's an outside in, is looking at denominationalism. But when you look from the inside out, it's looking at the Spirit, the same Spirit that's supposed to be in all of us. But we can allow our denomination to separate us from other Christians. And I think that's a shame. I was raised a Baptist, and I remember arguing with people, you know, when I was 12 years old, arguing with a lady that was an elderly lady in the church, not arguing, but disagreeing with her, because she was saying you needed to be a Baptist. I said, you mean to tell me if I go to heaven, there's only going to be Baptist people there? And I mean, it was so ridiculous. But we get caught up in that. You know, if you're not Pentecostal, if you're not Methodist, if you're not Lutheran, or they get so tightly bound to their denomination, so they miss out on their faith. And to me, really, it says a lot about that. We are different, but we're all the same body. And we should not be so harsh and so hard in our denomination that we miss out on our faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What do you all think about that?
Amen. I think, this is Mark, I think a lot of times that is truly the case, that we miss out on the big picture because we are captured by the small things. My dad used to call it penny wise and dollar foolish. So as we, you know, fight over all these small things that are man-made, we fail to recognize and come together as one spirit. And if we ever did that, then we would conquer any spirit, any negative spirit or any hindering spirit or any type of spirit that was not of God by coming together as one, because there is power, you know, when people of God come together.
Amen. Amen. That
Amen.
Encouragement
but
that Paul talked about. Go ahead.
But you know what's interesting? Mark, what he said is, so true. I mean, it's 1,000% true. But what I also learned over time that, and I hate to say it, but it's true, negative spirits join together, and they are powerful too. So the thing is that whenever, you know, you can't get this, you know, I used to think, oh, you know, it's just a couple of us together, we're powerful. Yes, we are. But when you get negative spirits together, that's how they can do damage to our world. That's why it's so important for us as believers to come together to combat those negative spirits, because they're meeting up too, you know.
Amen.
And they're doing crazy, and if we're not together, then, you know, that's how they're winning, and we can't allow that, you know.
Amen. Sean, well, Dr. Susie, are you still there? What should we do next?
I'm here.
We
well,
have,
we're more than able to do the prayer request and,
okay,
and praise reports. As soon as you sum up where we are, we can go to the next pushing.
Okay, well, we've been talking about, you know, why we've been given these gifts, and I think we've had a very good discussion about it, and a lot of things have been brought up, and next week we're going to be talking about what prevents us from using our gifts. And so I look forward to that, and I've really been encouraged by our discussion this evening.
Amen, amen. Are there any praise reports or prayer concerns? I think we should list up Eric. We haven't seen him in the last couple of weeks, nor have we heard from him. I don't know if any of you have heard from him. We need to lift up Lester and Sean is here. Sean and those, Dr. Edwards, we need to, I would like
Brett.
To be lifted up as well as Britt, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And did get a call from Dee. Asked,
I want to lift up Pastor Vern, Pastor Vern Mullins, and Sister Ida Mullins.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In prayer. You want me to?
I did, but I want to also lift up Marianne Brogren. Who was in the hospital tonight, and asked you to lift up Sydney, who's not feeling well. She's in the bed sick. So just asking for God's guidance on the Bible study and the recommitment for us to use our gifts in ways that will glorify God, wherever that might be.
Amen. Amen. God, we're just excited about you. We're excited about your word. We're excited about your spirit working in us. And God, we want to just be receptive to what you have for us. And we come against Satan that's trying to tell us we don't have it. We don't have the ability. We lack in this or we lack in that. Because God, we know that with you, all things are possible. And you've given us gifts, and God, we just want to use them for your glory and to help the church and help other people. So help us, God, to see what we have and help us to have the strength to touch your hand and gain your strength so that we can help someone and to use the gifts that we have. God, we want to lift up in a special way the Bible study, that you would bless it, God, and continue to use it to help somebody. And God, we know that through the years that many lives have been touched. And so we just ask you to continue to strengthen and encourage those that are involved in the Bible study. And God, we want to lift up Marion. I believe Dr. Susie said it's in the hospital. We pray for healing in Jesus' name. We give her over to you, God. And we ask for you to also bless Sydney Beavers in Jesus' name, that she would be well. And we ask you to touch Pastor Vern Mullins in Jesus' name, that he would be healed and be able to walk and give him strength, God. And we pray for Sister Ida Mullins, who's caring for him, God, that she would be strengthened. We pray for Britt, Eric, and we pray for all those that have been on the Bible study. Dee, we pray for Dee. And God, we lift them up to you, God. We know you're able to do all things. And so we're asking you to strengthen them, God, in whatever area of their lives that they need a touch. And those that are on the Bible study tonight, God, touch us, for we need your strength. Comfort us, for we need your comfort. And help us, God, to encourage each other. Help us, God, to use the gifts that you've given us. God, we thank you for the opportunity just to study your word and to praise you in all that we do. God, we just lift you up tonight. God, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.